You're listening to the More Than the Music podcast, episode 58, Christmas edition, featuring Mark Hall of Casting Crowns.
Some of our traditions that we have in our family is we want to make sure that Jesus is the center of what we're doing. So the very first thing that comes out as far as decorations in the house is going to be the nativity scene. And we hide the pieces of the nativity scene in the house.
Oh, cool.
So the kids are all looking for, kind of like Easter eggs, you know, they're looking for the pieces. And when they all come together, everybody has to tell the Christmas story from the point of view of whatever they're holding. They always give me like the cow or something, you know. So
how do you tell that story?
So, yeah, it happens. So I'm the one saying, "Hey, who are all these people in my house?" You know, that kind of stuff, you know.
You're about to hear why Mark Hall's most memorable Christmas wasn't from his childhood. What he used to do with the weird gifts his grandmother would give him. The tragedy that happened in his family on Christmas Eve. And the song on It's Finally Christmas that was inspired by many tough conversations with those in his youth group. I'm Justin Paul, along with Mark Hall of Casting Crowns, and we're going to talk about a lot more than just the music.
More Than the Music is hosted by Justin Paul, a touring musician turned national radio personality who loves the dramatic, humorous, sometimes tragic, and often inspiring story behind the songs from your favorite artists. You can connect with the show at wayfm.com/Justin. Now here's your host, Justin Paul.
I am so thrilled to be joined on the More Than the Music podcast by the one and only Mark Hall. How you doing, man?
What's going on?
I'm so glad to have you back on here. You were on episode 11 when we were talking about Thrive, and here we are like 50 episodes later.
Man, it's like a reunion episode.
Talking about Christmas.
I know it.
Because you guys have a brand new Christmas album this year called It's Finally Christmas. Mm-hmm. Is this the first Crowns Christmas record?
We made a Christmas record about 8 years ago.
Okay.
When you were six, and so we're bringing it back and doing it again. But we love Christmas music, man. I'm one of those guys that when Thanksgiving happens, driving to see the family on Thanksgiving, I want to hear Christmas music that day, and that's all I want to hear till New Year's. So
none before that.
No. It's kind of a rule.
Yeah,
that's when it all starts, is on Thanksgiving. But when you make a Christmas record, you make it in July, which it just goes against everything in your brain.
How do you get in the Christmas spirit in the middle of the summer?
We crank the air down to about 61. Megan always just runs around shaking jingle bells and stuff, you know. And
does that help?
Good. Yeah, it helps a lot.
Yeah,
it helps her.
The name of the album is It's Finally Christmas. Were you as a kid the one who just couldn't wait for Christmas to happen?
Yeah, I'm that guy. And there are always little signs as you were going, you know, when it started getting a little crisp outside and you see the little Christmas lights start showing up in some of the stores. Because, you know, they start advertising Christmas like, I don't know.
About the time you're making that record.
Yeah. So it's so cool. And just the anticipation that comes when you're a kid. And it's all built up to that moment when those gifts are going to get opened, you know, and it takes your family 18 hours to eat the meal that day. Just can't ever finally get there. So that's where the idea for that song came from, and just kind of looking forward to the day coming.
Did you grow up in Georgia as a kid?
I grew up in Alabama.
Alabama, okay.
Yes, I did.
So Christmas wasn't like, you didn't really have a white Christmas in Alabama.
Christmas was for television. That's where you saw snow. And then every once in a while it'll snow. And the same thing in Atlanta.
Yeah.
It may snow once a year. And if it does, we don't know what to do with it.
I grew up in South Georgia and it's like 70 degrees outside during Christmas. And you're like in shorts and
T-shirts.
We're
just looking for brisk air. We'd love to be able to wear a sweater on Christmas.
Just be able to wear the jacket. That makes it Christmas. What was your family like during Christmas? Big family? Did you all get together or was it more just you and your siblings and your
mom
and dad?
We did. So it's just my sister, my mom, and my dad. But every Christmas we'd go up to northern Alabama, and that's where all the family was. So all the crazy family, all the every kind of people you can imagine, all in one house at my grandparents' house. And it was always an adventure. You never knew what was going to get brought up in conversation.
So you all piled in that house,
It was awesome. It was awesome. We loved all the cousins getting in trouble. And so it's always been a big day for us. And then when I married Melanie, it was the same thing. She had even more family and more aunts and uncles and cousins. So Christmas is all about family coming together for us.
Yeah, when we go back home, it's just bouncing around to everybody's house,
man.
You know, just Christmas meal after Christmas meal.
How many meals can you eat?
A lot, apparently. You gain like 30 pounds from Thanksgiving to Christmas. What about a few traditions that you might have from Christmas? Is there something like when my grandparents were still alive, we all used to draw names with my cousins and my aunts and uncles and stuff. Did you guys do anything like that as a family?
The drawing names always happened, but the cool thing about being a kid is that you didn't get entered into the drawing names parts. Everybody got to buy you something until you were like well in your teens. And then, you know, you always kind of wanted to be the grown up that drew the names because that moment was cool. But then when you got old enough, you realized, I'm only getting one gift. I hope I don't get the lame uncle that's going to get me like nothing, you know, like socks or something. So we do the name drawing thing. Some of our traditions that we have in our family is we want to make sure that Jesus is the center of what we're doing. So the very first thing that comes out as far as decorations in the house is going to be the nativity scene. And we hide the pieces of the nativity scene in the house.
Oh, cool.
So the kids are all looking for, kind of like Easter eggs, you know, they're looking for the pieces. And when they all come together, everybody has to tell the Christmas story from the point of view of whatever they're holding.
That's
so
cool.
If you're a shepherd, you tell the story as the shepherd. Or you tell. They always give me like the cow or something, you know. So
how do you tell that story?
So, yeah, it happens. So I'm the one saying, "Hey, who are all these people in my house?" You know, that kind of stuff. You know, but it just makes it different and special, so they don't slip into the Christmas groove and just plow right through. So that's a big deal to us.
When we were at my grandma's house, we would all disperse the gifts. And then someone in the family had to read the Christmas story.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're like a six-year-old kid and you're holding your gift, that story seems like the longest story ever.
Oh, man,
ever.
That story's never going to,
But I appreciate that. Yeah. Like, they took the time to read the Christmas story before we tore into the gifts. And I think that just really set the scene for the house.
It really matters. And I think, you know, even if it's a traditional moment and we feel like, well, this is just something we do every year, there's roots in that.
Yeah.
That sprout up later. And that's important.
You talked about that crazy uncle. Mm-hmm. I once, because we did the drawing thing at my house and my aunt got my name, and I think she forgot that she drew my name because we dispersed all the gifts and I didn't have one. And she went out to her car and she grabbed like some gym weights and $10, and that was my Christmas gift.
Nice.
Did you ever have any of those gifts? Like, they were just off the wall. You're like, where did this come from?
Later in my grandmother's years, it was very normal to open up a present and it was something that you saw in the house somewhere that she just wrapped up. So I got a ceramic squirrel.
All right.
1 year. Yeah,
what did you do with the squirrel?
I kept it. I think I actually kept it the whole day and then went and put it back on the TV where it was before.
You just put it
just
back
let her
there.
Have it back. Yeah.
Thanks, Grandma. I appreciate it, but I'm going to leave this right
Thanks,
here.
Grandma.
For me, Christmas really changed when my grandparents passed away. Because we called them Meemaw and Pawpaw, and they've since gone on. But was there ever a year that things just were completely different than they were the previous year for you?
I remember when I was about 11 or so, Christmas Eve, my aunt was in a car accident, pretty bad. And I remember my dad coming home and whispering and saying stuff with my mom, and then he was gone. And he had to go and drive to another town to be with her. She was in the hospital for a long time. And having Christmas without him there was a really strange Christmas. And it made me really thankful for having him in the house at Christmas time,
Every year we had this same tradition. We always got together at my grandparents' house. If it wasn't at their house, it was somewhere with all of my mom's side of the family. And now it's just weird. Like Christmas Eve, we don't do that anymore because they're gone on. So we all kind of just do our own little thing. But man, it just feels weird because that's what I've done for the first 30 years of my life. You know,
I think grandparents, that generation of grandparents were the last of the Mohicans as far as it comes to we're going to get our family together.
Yeah.
And I think every family, when you see that their grandparents are the rallying point, somebody in the family's got to step up and keep this together. Because when my grandparents split up, it just sort of spread out. We just sort of all found each other.
Yeah.
And you lose that connection and you really need it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jumping into the songs, we talked about It's Finally Christmas, which is the title track.
Yeah.
Which is just, man, as a kid, like, you can't wait for Christmas to get here, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that was the inspiration behind the song,
definitely.
Really.
There was a little joke in there about our weather in Atlanta, because it says there's out in Colorado, they're watching snowflakes fall. There ain't no snow in Georgia, but we got an ice rink by the mall. So that probably the deepest lyric in the record right there. But we do have an ice rink. That's all we've got.
We've been waiting for it. No place like home is what the world's been missing. It's fine.
Man, you've got a couple of originals on here. You've got a couple of Christmas classics. One of the originals is kind of combined with a Christmas classic is Somewhere in Your Silent Night. What's the story behind it?
This song came from youth ministry. I've been a youth pastor for half of my life. And every week, that's what I'm doing. So we tour on the weekends, but Sunday through Wednesday, I'm with teenagers and we're life on life doing stuff and walking through things together. And Christmas is a tough time for a lot of people. And it's not the most wonderful time of the year. Mm-hmm. It's a time for a lot of kids where they've got to, you know, decide who's, am I going to go to mom's house or dad's house for Christmas Eve and Christmas? And it's tough. There's a lot of hurt that's connected with Christmas. And I felt like I was writing this song and I was seeing not just a fictional situation, but actual faces that I've looked at and seen during worship times at Christmas and go, you know, we're singing Silent Night, but that's not what's going on in their heart right now. And for me, this song is just kind of coming alongside somebody and reminding them, I know there's a lot of hurt connected with this time of the year, but God is still good.
Yeah.
And he's still here. And, you know, Jesus's first Christmas didn't go so good either. He was homeless for his first Christmas. So God understands hurt. He understands people not receiving them and being alone. He understands this stuff. We don't have a Jesus that can't sympathize with our hurts. He's been through all of it. He can understand. He can meet us where we are. And that's where the song is, just saying that Jesus can meet you where you are on Christmas.
It's hard for me to even go there because, I mean, Christmas has always been fun and festive and, you know, my family has always been there, but for so many, that's not what Christmas is like. That's not their reality. Mm-hmm. I love that this song speaks right into that.
When I look back at the way my dad handled things in raising me, my dad ended some bad patterns in our family history, and he decided we're going to make Jesus the center of what we do. And he really changed direction for our family. I've talked to a lot of students and a lot of young people, and I tell them, you're going to be the changer. You're going to be the game changer in your family. You're going to be the one that decides Jesus is going to be the center of what we do. And you can do that even as a kid. For me, this is that song that reminds them that there might be a lot of stuff stuck to this holiday for you, but this is still about Jesus and God is still good. Mm-hmm. And maybe this is the Christmas that we start seeing that differently.
Somewhere in your silent night, heaven hears the song, your broken heart has cried. Hope is here, just lift your silent night.
Obviously, music is a part of your Christmas now, but was it as a kid? Was music a big part of your family Christmas or even how you celebrated the season?
My dad got saved when I think I was 7. And I don't really remember a ton of music before that, but dad joined the choir and then everything we did was music. And
all in,
oh, dude. And he discovered Christian music right about that time. So he was blasting Bill Gaither and Dallas Home and all these Sandy Patty, and he even came home with a rocker one time. Said this guy's name's Carmen. I don't know. He's kind of out there, but
champion.
I kind of like it anyway. You know. So he was rocking this stuff, and it really just changed our family. And to where when we're driving down the road now, we're singing. My dad would sing the solos in church, and I would get to sing with him, and that's where all this started for me, music. And so hearing him sing Christmas songs, man, that's what we did the whole drive, was just sing together.
Yeah. I got my first drum set at Christmas when I was like 7 years old. That's kind of where music and Christmas collided for me. But also I realized looking back,
a lot of things collided. They gave a 7-year-old a drum kit.
I know. Well, that's exactly where I'm going. Like, I think at some point my parents were like, why on earth did we do this? This is the worst possible gift we could have given a 7-year-old.
What have we done?
Has there ever been a gift that you regretted giving maybe one of your kids because it was just so obnoxious or loud?
I think any kind of horn is a terrible idea. Because kids can achieve these pitches that just kind of like dentists drill into your mind. Ugh. So I can remember a few. It's usually never anything we get them.
Yeah.
It's something that my parents get them.
Bingo.
And I remember when I was a kid, my grandparents gave me a drum kit when I was little. And I can remember my dad in the car going, you got to be kidding. And so they show up every Christmas with some little horn or whistle or something that they just sit in the back seat and just
Because they know it's not going to stay at their house. It's going to go to your house.
I let them play with it, and I just kind of slide it down up under the seat and the couch at my grandparents' house.
To be forgotten, hopefully. Forgotten. What Christmas would you say was like the most memorable? Because for me, that first drum kit, like I remember that Christmas. I'll never forget that Christmas. Was there one that really sticks out to you from your childhood or even in adulthood?
I think the biggest Christmas I've ever had that just stays in my mind constantly is my son John Michael's first Christmas. He was our first kid.
Yeah.
And, you know, Christmas is always, even as an adult, it sort of comes back to you somehow. And then when we had John Michael, we were married 8 years before we had kids. And his first Christmas, it was like the whole world stopped. And I was like, I have a list of a million things that I need him to have.
Yeah.
And he's got to have a football. He's got to have every kind of ball there is. He's got to have a plane. He's got to have a car. He's got to have trucks. So it was one of those excess type Christmases where he probably couldn't find his way out of the room for that first day.
Yeah.
But that was such a big one to have a Christmas that was totally about somebody else.
My wife and I don't have kids yet, so we just spend money on each other. Like yeah. That's our big gift, you know. Like,
we'll enjoy it, pal, because it's over as soon as that baby comes.
Well, you said 8 years. We're on six, so I think I've got a little bit more time. I hope my wife's listening to this. That would be great. The next song we're going to talk about is "Make Room." What's the story behind this one?
"Make Room" started out as just part of my childhood. I told you my dad sang in the choir. He would always do the solos, and I had such a great voice. But there was Mr. Roy. Mr. Roy was like the chairman of the deacons, and he was the bass singer in the choir.
Okay.
And he had this big, huge, deep voice, and his lip would kind of curl when he'd sing his low notes. You know, we're in Alabama, so he had the whole thing going. And he sang almost every year that I remember, he sang the song of the innkeeper. And the whole song was "No Room." And he'd do this little drama thing at the beginning, and he would stop, you know, Mary and Joseph. It almost kind of looked like the villain, like they had him in a black hat. And he's like, "No room." And I just cannot get that out of my mind. And for years, that's kind of how I saw the innkeeper. Is he was the villain in the story. He's the one that put him out on the street. And he really wasn't. He was just busy. And he just had a lot going on, and he had all he could handle. His life was full, and he didn't have room. And Jesus said the same thing that Luke chapter 2 says, when Luke says there was no room for him in the inn. Jesus in the book of John says the same thing. He said, "Man, I wanted to gather all of you up to me and take care of you, but you had no room for my word." And I feel like the innkeeper, he's like a lot of us. He had a place. He just didn't have the place, but he gave him a place. And I think that's where this generation is.
Yeah.
To where we're going to find a place for Jesus somehow this Christmas. The sad thing is he's sliding out of Christmas. I mean, he didn't get a whole lot of our lives usually sometimes. But then even the moments that it's kind of kicking a kid out of his own birthday party doesn't even make sense. So this song just reminds me to make room for him in my heart, in my plans, in my dreams, because when we make room for him, he makes a way for us that will change the course that we were heading in.
Yeah.
So it's just a song that makes you think a little bit.
You know, all of us are so busy, I mean, especially this time of the year, the hustle and bustle of the holidays and shopping. I mean, I've been guilty of it too. And my wife and I, we literally say this every year, we're going to stop doing so much so we can really focus on what this season is about. But then year after year, it's like more and more busy.
It gets away from you.
Yeah.
And if you
absolutely.
Don't, it's almost like you have to just kind of declare war on the schedule and say, look, this is what's going to happen. We're going to do this. And that's what Melanie, my wife, came up with the idea of. The very first thing that comes out is the nativity scene before anything else. Because if we get going, it's gone.
Yeah.
We're cleaning up wrapping paper. And the party's over, and Jesus wasn't even invited. So to me, the teaching moment of this record is the song "Make Room." Even if it's just making room in a Christmas holiday moment, let that be the start. But I don't want to get to a point where I'm having to make room in my Christmas.
Yeah.
You know, I want to be at a place to where he has the space, not a space, but he has the space.
Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart? Is there room in your heart for God to write his story? You can come as you are, but
It may set you apart when you make room in your heart and trade your dreams for His glory.
Am I going to see you in the stores on Christmas Eve? Are you a last-minute shopper? Or are you ahead of the game?
Man, I married a lady who is on her game,
yeah.
And she is usually way ahead, and she's online, and she's doing everything,
all
and
right.
There's just boxes showing up. All I know
right.
is that I'm not supposed to look at most of them, but the few that I have to do, I don't know if I've ever been out on Christmas Eve.
I'm shopping. So last minute.
I'm definitely not going out on that Black Friday day. Forget
oh,
it.
Yeah.
I am in the house, boarded up. Laughing at YouTube videos, man. I'm not doing that.
Yeah, I'm usually so last minute. I'm like day before Christmas Eve or Christmas Eve trying to get those last minute gifts. So luckily you will not be there, man. Thanks so much for sharing the stories behind these Christmas songs, and I hope you have a Merry Christmas. Thank you for taking your time to do this.
You too, man.
Thanks for listening to the More Than the Music podcast, episode 58, Christmas edition, featuring Mark Hall of Casting Crowns. If you've made it this far, I'm just going to go ahead and assume that you love the show. So would you consider sharing it with your friends on social media? Any Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter share only helps more people hear the amazing stories behind these songs. I also want to hear from you. You can email me anytime at justin@wayfm.com or just leave me a 5-star rating and review inside iTunes. Kid McCoy just left me this 5-star rating and review. 2 episodes in, Matthew West and Brandon Heath, and I'm a fan. This is exactly what I hoped it would be. I'm a huge fan of Christian music, and this is a chance to hear from those who sing and write the songs I love to hear. Hey, thank you so much for your comment. You can connect with the show, too. Find links to my Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, and even have a chance to win an autographed Fender guitar from Casting Crowns, plus their Christmas CD, It's Finally Christmas, that was featured in this episode at wayfm.com/justin. Merry Christmas!